A special episode of the TV Dudes podcast, ATX Television Fest 2018. Guys, we have a special episode where we are dedicating this entire thing to talking about our experience this year at Season 7 of the ATX Television Fest here in Austin, Texas.
Season 7 is probably where they're about to start introducing the Cousin Oliver, right?
Is that where they jump the shark fully?
Yeah, does the cousin Oliver show up this season? I don't know how that would be. Like, there's a new younger kid running alongside Caitlin and Emily, and he's just been there all along. We just pretend. That's at the dawn, actually.
Yeah, I just figured it was like six seasons in a movie.
Oh yeah,
this year wouldn't be a fest; it would be some different format.
Well, guys, it's not just us, and by us I mean Grant,
Randy,
Les.
You guys are not on point there. The delay there. I'm not even going to tighten that up. Because I don't edit this episode. But also because I want everyone to know that you guys, yeah, be quicker here.
We didn't know what you were doing.
Oh, well, I was going around the room.
Less.
And we got... No! We also have a special guest, our buddy Melissa Giramonte. I've always been saying Giramonte. I apologize.
I've gone through that my entire life, so no problem at all.
Yeah, people always assume my last name has a hard D for Davis.
As opposed to a silent D?
Yavis.
It's Yavis.
Grant Yavis. Yes, yeah, that's... No, it's a hard D.
No one's going to make the hard D joke?
Nope.
Okay, fair enough.
Let's just let that sit.
Flashbacks to radio school.
Melissa's our buddy from our joint network, which has now been renamed to the Electric Sweater.
Electric Sweater!
Network. And you do FemTV, you do Mr. Robot O podcast, you also do Televixen.
I've had a site that this summer we're celebrating our 10th anniversary, thetelevixen.com, and we've covered all things TV, and it's the site that's kind of brought a lot of you fine folks into my life, so...
Well, I know you live up in Canada.
I do.
But you are an honorary TV dude, as always, and we are glad to have you here to help us recap Season 7. Now, this year, I think that when we were first talking about, we were looking at the schedule, we were a little bit down on certain aspects of this year, like just looking at what shows appealed to us. You know, we definitely have like a genre slant that we want to, you know, fill up our schedule with Game of Thrones or something.
I was, to be honest, a little disappointed in the offerings. There was nothing I was like super excited for. Every year there's always at least one panel. It's with Galactica or Terriers that are like, can't wait to see. And there was stuff I was interested in, but nothing I was like, oh, that's the big one.
But I feel like once we kind of drilled down and looked at the schedule, this was a pretty good year.
It was one of my favorites.
I'm really glad to hear that, honestly. Like, I know, Randy, you were originally when the schedule came out, there was a quiet discussion of like, is anyone else a little bit underwhelmed?
Or
is there
going to
drop
down
more?
Yeah.
And then I don't remember last year there being TBA slots still to be announced.
Right at the very end, there were still a couple coming soon.
Like, yeah. I put in fast passes for a couple of just like, blind,
I don't know what this
I don't
is.
Know what that is.
I think a lot of that comes from, it seems like the entire new season offerings, like the upcoming series launches, mm-hmm. seem to be delayed a little bit this year. So it felt like like TV in general this year. So it was almost like they were waiting on the upfronts to happen and all of these time slots and days and all that to be like from the actual upcoming TV schedule before mm-hmm. they slotted those in.
Well, it's gotta be crazy just to coordinate an event like this anyway. And like how it's continued to grow each year.
Mm-hmm.
It's just pretty impressive.
I like what they did this year on I like the sausage making panels, like how television is made, and that's something I love about the audience this festival draws. Like, you end up with audience questions of people who surprise the cast and crew sometimes with like, oh crap, you guys know what our jobs are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of sausage making, this sorry,
Grant, is this your theme for the podcast?
I just want to say, like, you know, this festival is refreshingly predominantly, it seems, female, as opposed to, you know, if you go to Comic-Con, we were talking about this earlier.
Yeah, it's a bunch of white dudes.
It's just a bunch of dudes, and it's a different tone, I think, that's a little bit, for me, annoying at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
I find this just such a immediately friendly environment. It's like you feel family when you talk to other people, and everyone's just excited and passionate about TV.
Yeah. Well, when you and I were at the one of the last – was it Futurama? We were at something at the Paramount, and there was a dude in front of us who had been at the trivia, and he turned around and started talking to us. And then he started talking to the girl next to us, and we just all kind of chatted. Despite that we didn't know each other, we'd seen each other around the festival. And it feels like a big TV family. It's really kind of awesome.
Yeah, most of the convention-sized like type things I've ever gone to have been either Comic-Con or genre-dedicated to sci-fi or to horror or to animation or something like that. And I'm glad to have a TV festival that focuses on the breadth of television and not purely – so that like last year there was a This Is Us panel.
Yeah.
There was also a Battlestar Galactica reunion. Like this year there was Futurama. There was also plenty of stuff that was not nerd cartoon.
Yeah, for sure.
And I love that about this fest, that like there's stuff that surprises me where I sit down and watch a show that I didn't expect to love or that maybe I didn't really know that much about it, and I come away going, I don't think I'm the target audience for that, but damn, that was well made.
Yeah.
Especially getting to see television in a group. That's the other thing about this fest. You never watch TV with more people than you can fit on your couch.
I mean, I've watched with a group. I've got people over to watch, 10 people to watch a show, but never like 400.
You need a bigger living room.
Like I've gone to Alamo for like their Game of Thrones or their Lost episodes.
Sure.
I mean, they do Game of Thrones. I've went for their Lost episodes. And that's the only time you really experience that.
Yeah, and it's really neat seeing little bits of the David Simon shows, like seeing a little bit of The Deuce on the big screen. I was like, wow, I forget how beautiful the show is.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of what we saw at this panel, just for anyone who was unable to attend, but you guys are interested, we always encourage you guys to come visit and hang out with us and attend to this panel or the festival. But this year, their big highlights included the Felicity reunion, the 30-something reunion. They had a live read with a lot of the cast of Futurama, as Les was mentioning. They had a Breaking Bad / Better Call Saul one-on-one talk between Bob Odenkirk and Vince Gilligan, as well as a screening of a Breaking Bad episode. Sharp Objects, the brand new HBO show, had a debut premiere, which was pretty awesome. Big get.
And that was their opening night, and the panel for that one was impressive. I mean, not only do they have someone from – they had one of the big people to HBO. They had the director who did Big Little Lies and who's doing this. They had Amy Adams. They had Gillian Flynn who – not Gillian Flynn. Gillian Flynn. Who wrote the novel. I mean, it was a star-studded panel. It was impressive.
Whiskey Cavalier had their big premiere. One Day at a Time had a panel that was jam-packed.
The line for that was absolutely stunning.
I mean, when Rita Moreno comes to your festival, the people come to witness that greatness in person.
That was at the same time, I believe, as the Blown Deadline HBO panel.
Yeah.
And so Randy and I were walking over to go watch like David Simon and all these people that have done,
people have done The Wire.
Like just to, take a top tier TV show every year for the last 20 years and they've had a hand in one of them. And we're walking past this huge line, like thinking we're walking to the popular thing.
Yeah.
And like, what the fuck is that for?
Everybody was for One Day at a Time. Yeah, they could have swapped those two rooms.
Oh,
it was
easily,
crazy.
Easily. Yeah, we were like the front third of the Paramount. And meanwhile, like there's people wrapped around the building.
I feel like they may have made a misstep in the naming of that particular show. I feel like it should have had David Simon's name in there a little bit better. Because when I first read it, I didn't know what Blown Deadline is. I didn't know his production company's name.
It should have mentioned David Simon or The Wire and then said, The Wire, a Blown Deadline production or something like that. Like, if you wanted to get his production company name in there, that makes sense. But, it did not tell a lot of people what that was. I think a lot of people didn't know they missed that one.
But, man, David Simon, he's just great to listen to.
He's great, yeah.
This was, talking, Les, you were mentioning how this festival always just had a wide breadth of different genres that it kind of caters to. And once again, we were talking about Felicity and Breaking Bad and Futurama, Sharp Objects. So, it really covers the gamut. And whatever type of TV fan you are, I think they do a pretty good job of having a good balance.
It's one of my favorite times of year. Like that, like I came around this weekend feeling pretty great. I had a great time. I saw a lot of stuff I really liked. TV is kind of isolating. TV is the thing where you mostly watch it by yourself, and to sort of realize that you're kind of part of this group of people. Like, we do a podcast every week and we all get together and we talk about TV, but seeing like, TV is actually much bigger than we think. Like a lot of people watch, we're all enjoying these things. Like it sort of reinforces the love that we all put into it, which I think is really, really interesting.
Well, let's talk about some of our personal highlights. Melissa, if you want to start, like what panels did you go do that you loved?
Well, the first thing that I am a huge One Day at a Time fan. I love this show. I watched the original back in the day. I believe at that point it may have been like when I was really little, it was like the later seasons, but it was on like in syndication when there wasn't too much TV. There were reruns on all the time. Mm-hmm. So when I heard they were rebooting it, I actually first heard about it at the festival here on a red carpet for Queen of the South and Justina Machado,
like
or Machado.
2 years ago, or
yeah,
years ago.
Justina Machado, is it? I always mispronounce her name. She mentioned it to me that she was playing the mother and it was going to be a Cuban American family. And I was like, I'm going to check this out. And that was definitely like my very first pick of what I had to see, and the Felicity reunion was a very close second, but it was a mix of going to check out shows that I already love and then being introduced to some new shows that, well, one that I'd never really heard about before because it's never aired in Canada and now I have to track down and watch, and then another one where I was like, this probably isn't going to be very good, and now it's one of the new shows I'm most excited for.
Yeah, I mean, just seeing the passion of everyone getting to see that, it feels like a show I really have missed out on.
We definitely missed the boat on that. It's on my list to check out now.
Les has seen it, of course.
Yeah, Les has seen everything.
Yeah.
Some of it.
Well, what about you, Randy?
The biggest thing for me, I think, was probably the pitch competition is always one of my favorite things. This is where they do – Grant, you did this 1 year. You were in the semifinals.
I did not actually get up on stage. I didn't make it to that point. But I was a quarterfinalist.
Oh, quarterfinalist. Okay. Yeah. So like they do – everybody can pitch like a – it's like 90 seconds or something of your pitching your TV show.
Yeah. You make a video. You submit it.
And then they call that down. And they call it down to basically after a couple rounds to 8 people who get up and pitch their TV show. They get, I think, 10 minutes to pitch to this panel that included – the guy who runs not the show The Blacklist, but The Blacklist, that's the best unproduced screenplays in Hollywood.
Right.
Someone from Disney, someone from Hulu, a couple other executives, sort of development executives. And they get up, they give their pitch in front of the audience, and then they take a couple questions from the panel if they have any. And then the panel decides which person is going to go forward. And that person gets a mentor that is a big business development executive who mentors them through the process. So it is a shot at actually getting a show on TV. If nothing else, it'll put your foot in the door and start working in the industry. Mm-hmm. And so that's fun to watch on just that basis. But the pitches are great. Like, it's really interesting to see people pitch a TV show and get a notion of sort of not just like ideas. Like, everybody has ideas. But to see like how do you get across what your show is about in 10 minutes. And it was interesting to see there was one the person who won had a pitch for sort of a drama about multi-level marketing. And it was a funny pitch. And they were like, why are you doing this as a drama, not a comedy? He's like, well, I was doing it. And when I started doing my research, like I went to Utah and I did the research and I realized people take this seriously. Like it is more serious. And it's like, you know, he was talking about how it could be funny, but that it also was kind of that it made more sense as a drama. And that was really interesting. And there was a girl who pitched her show called Faux Workers that basically was like your enemy, your frenemy at work. And she was so delightful and so funny that the guy from The Blacklist was like, look, we didn't pick you. We have your honorable mention because you shouldn't be pitching a show. You should find a friend who has the same energy that you do and go be the next Issa Rae. And I think we'll probably see that person. And so, like, it's kind of like you're watching new talent emerge, but it's also just as a TV fan, sort of a side that we don't see. Like, we don't ever go, we get to upfronts.
Right.
We don't see pitches. We don't see stuff in the development that way. And it's a 2-hour panel. It's longer than any other panel. It's always like right in the middle of things. And I will go to it every year if I can.
I still haven't gone to one of those.
So
once
fun.
They rejected me, I was like, you're dead to me. You're dead to me, pitch competition. What about you, Les?
I was actually really sad to miss the pitch competition. Javier Grillo-Marx-Watch and Jose Molina just put up a 2-episode thing on their Children of Tendu podcast where – because they had kind of the same feeling of like there's a lot of people that make – how do they put it? Most of the writers they knew who went into pitch shows had never been in a pitch before.
Yeah.
Like you've worked on a shitload of shows. Fine.
Yeah.
Did you ever have to go pitch it? No. Or did you ever see anyone's pitch?
Yeah.
No. And so it's just this weird black box. We're like, I don't know what I say in there about my show. And so, yeah, I'm always sad to miss the pitch competition.
Quit saying the piss competition.
It's because of you hating on it, man.
That's in Russia. Oh, our president is a great contender. We lost.
Yeah.
Our country lost.
I don't know. We're getting close.
All right. My picks, there's a couple different things that I really enjoyed. I was pretty amazed by the crashing panel when we went there.
Yes, that was great.
Pete Holmes got up there, and he was being moderated by his buddy Derek Waters from Drunk History. Mm-hmm. And just the two of them, their energy, their dynamic, and Pete Holmes almost just not even taking questions, but just like talking about whatever he wanted to.
He owned that room.
He
just completely controlled it. Yeah. It was really funny, great energy. The entire audience was in his grasp, and he was just making everyone laugh the whole time.
Gave away a Roku.
And it gave away a Roku.
And then the second half, high maintenance, we ducked out to go eat, but Les was there for that.
Yep. So that actually got moderated by Miriam Shore, who is just a giant high maintenance fan.
Huh, okay.
That's fast. I noticed that this year that there were several fans of TV shows because the Felicity reunion was moderated by Lennon Parham from the Womp It Up podcast, mm-hmm. and from Playing House, and they knew she was a huge Felicity fan and brought her in.
Well, like, Shore's been in a couple of high maintenance episodes, and she was in Hedwig and the Angry Inch, and like, she had a career and lived in New York, and she had seen the webisodes of High Maintenance, mm-hmm. and just loved the show, and it's clearly, I mean, New York's a character in the thing. And she just kind of started stalking them. Like, who do I know that's working for free on this bullshit? Like, where can I find these people? Where are they shooting next? Whose apartment? Oh, cool. And like, just kind of bothered. And they were like, yeah, I mean, you may have felt you were stalking us, but we knew who you were from Hedwig. So we all kind of went, okay, you're here? Cool. And they, yeah. So like, she was an actress. Like, it was just kind of cool watching like someone I'm going to talk to at a different panel because she's on Younger.
Yeah.
And like, she got up to moderate and was like, I'm just here because I am a total fangirl for this.
And, that's pretty awesome.
The panel, I had a couple people tell me the panel ran us. They felt the panel ran out of steam a little bit on the high maintenance side because it just kind of got
a lot to maintain. I get it.
Yeah. Like, intimate fan, a lot of strands, man. A lot of strands in the old dude's head.
No, both of you know.
I assume they weren't passing out free samples at the door to enjoy.
All right. Pete gave away a Roku. They couldn't give away some weed.
Right. ironically, like, they didn't talk. I mean, I was kind of happy that not all the questions, like the audience questions, weren't just entirely about weed.
Hey, have you ever watched HBO on weed?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But it was cool. Like, they watching them talk about making that show, and mostly I'm most amazed that show jumped from web to Vimeo to HBO. They've had these increasing bumps in money and changes in production behind them, and they've kept the tone. And it's mostly just been lucky contracts. Like,
next thing, ABC's Family Nights.
Right.
You know, the other one that I caught, Melissa, I'm not sure if you caught this as well, the Castle Rock?
I did not get a chance to do that. I had to slot in interviews in a lot of places, so unfortunately I had to miss out on that one. But I am very, very curious about it.
Yeah, they showed like a 4-minute preview of the show. I thought we were going to get to see the first episode. But that's fine that we didn't, because they showed like a little 4-minute preview, and then they brought the two creators of the show up on stage to talk about it, and it was just a fascinating conversation because, you know, these guys are taking the works of Stephen King and they're making this fictionalized city of Castle Rock up in Maine that is like, what if all of Stephen King's stories all happened around this area? What would this town be like? Who would actually stay there?
And yeah.
It's all messed up.
In one sense, they picked the right author for this because, I mean, I'm sure they just couldn't get the rights to the city of Bangor. But all of Stephen King's stories do take place basically around, like, Bangor, Maine area. And, I mean, Derry has appeared in multiple books. Like, the town from It appears in multiple books.
Well, Dark Tower, the whole premise is basically putting everything together, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, like, he's already an author that's obsessive about, like, it's all one world.
Yeah, they said that like he sent them a map and they were able to like map out like has a bunch of details. They were able to talk to him. He gave blessing. Like
that's
they were
great.
Able to map out all these different places around Maine and like the lore of the whole thing. And
when
like,
they announced it, I thought, man, that's a genius. Anthologies are huge. Of course, there's something like this is going to happen. I felt like King's works were a great source material to pick to do something like this because one of my favorite things that does work for me in Stephen King writing is this sense that, like, there's one big, creepy world underneath all of it.
Right.
And I love that. And I feel like Castle Rock, I was really sad I missed the – I saw four friggin' panels across the 4 days.
Oh, because you did – well, that's the other thing I wanted to talk about. Like, you and Melissa, you guys did a bunch of interviews.
I didn't do nearly as many as I did last year, so I was able to see more panels. And also, I found this year the interviews I did, for the most part, were extremely efficient. They started on time. They ended on time. So I was able to slide into a couple of panels that I hadn't planned on seeing, especially at the Stephen F. Austin Ballroom. So I got to go to an ACLU panel, which was fascinating. It was Tanya Saracho, who's the showrunner on Vida, and Gloria Calderon-Colette from One Day at a Time, and then Maurizio Mota, who's the creator and executive producer of East Los High, which I'd never really heard of. I'd heard the name.
It is all over Hulu.
And it is not available in Canada anywhere. But after hearing him speak, I'm like, I have to find this show.
Better start streaming it here before you fly back.
Tunnel Bear.
It's funny, though, because I had that experience, too, with a panel I slipped into was the music panel, the from the Sound Up composing character themes. I had nothing on my schedule, and I just kind of like – I was like, oh, this sounds interesting, and it's happening at the right time. And I went, and it was really good. It was basically Snuffy Walden was there.
Cool. Wow.
And, oh, yeah. I went with that.
And then the woman who does the music for Vida was there with her showrunner. And then the two guys from the Americans with their music guy. And it was all about making music for TV. And it was really the kind of thing you go to ATX Fest for, which is like Les was saying earlier, it's the other parts of TV. It's not just the show running or the writing or the directing that we hear so much about, but the music and how that plays in and how different composers approach it was really interesting.
I think you and I were pretty amazed as well about the audience came to that. Like,
hugely attended.
Not only was the moderator on point and like asking a bunch of really great questions and really like working back and forth among, you know, for moderators to be able to handle like six people and to keep like the conversation flowing without like things becoming a little bit redundant or some people just like going on and on like I'm doing right now.
By the way, that moderator is Tara Ariano from Previously TV, which is previously TV Without Pity.
Oh, yeah.
And
she was fantastic.
I saw her on the Critics Throwdown as well. She's fantastic, and she was great for that.
But yeah, the audience themselves were also like just so passionate. We go to some of these panels and like people will be like, are there any audience questions? And there'll be like no hands raised. Like 50 hands went up at this music
one. I'm sad I missed that one. It sounds like it was a lot like, I don't know if any of you caught in the previous season, the TV mixtape panel, which was all the music supervisors.
No, I wish I'd been to that. I love that.
That one was also, it sounds like it was a very similar concept. It was great.
The Nashville panel last year caught me off guard because just of who they got for the panel. Sometimes you see the panelist and you're like, oh, I was hoping all the actors would be there. Or I was hoping. But they had the music supervisor and a couple of the other guys.
That's Snuffy there. Nashville. Yeah.
And so they ended up talking about how you write shows that fast. I mean, how you write songs that fast tailored to scripts.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended up being this really weird, very particular niche songwriting discussion where I was like, you would never hear this conversation.
It's this like other little aspect, like the background music. Like I want to have some more stuff like with costumers and makeup department. You know, these kind of aspects of the show that you don't often think about.
Right.
So I sat down with the folks from Genius Picasso.
Right.
I sat down with the showrunner, creator, who's great. It was a cool interview. But the other people I sat down with were editing, makeup, production design, and costume. And they, I don't think they get in-depth interviewed that often about the show, but it was so neat to watch someone with a very niche job get very excited about it. And like, no, this is clearly important. I mean, like,
they're not jaded by the same five questions every interview.
It's like life or death important to them. Like, no, I had to get, you know, I had five comb overs that we did for Antonio Banderas. And like, we had discussions about like, you know, every day makeup, you're painting a Picasso, like. Ha ha, thanks, Anthony. Yeah,
I sat down with, it was Sonu and Davina, were the makeup artist and the costume designer.
They were so fun to talk to.
And they're going to be, we recorded an episode of FemTV.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And they also told me that season 3, because a lot of the women coming in were like, well, you know, you've addressed, your subject has been these two great men from history. When are the women coming? And they're like, season 3 is Mary Shelley. And they are so excited to dive into that world.
Awesome.
Can we quick hit a couple last just hit quick hits on the panels we saw? I want to say that the Trial and Error was back and is really, really good. It was a great panel, and I'm really looking forward to season two of that. And the Futurama table read was a blast.
Yeah.
That was so much fun to watch. And the last thing I saw was – it was Saturday, so there were just after this. But Whiskey Cavalier premiered.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and it was really good. It was really fun.
That was the show that I was not even going to go to that panel, and I ended up skipping the Saul – Breaking Bad one and decided to go to Whiskey Cavalier. And am I ever happy I did? I walked in and I was like, yeah, it'll be, I mean, Scott Foley's pretty to look at on a big screen. And I love Lauren Cohen. And then by the end of it, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm getting Chuck vibes. I can't wait for more of this show.
Yeah. And Scott Foley, again, also just kind of owned the room. That guy's very charming and funny, and which is a conversation between him and the moderator. And
this is a Bill Lawrence show.
It's a Bill Lawrence show. Yeah. Yeah.
Like I said, I think I went to four panels. Basically, last year I did a couple of interviews and I loved it. So this year I reached out to everybody who we had contacts for, basically, at this thing. And I ended up doing 30-something interviews.
There's going to be a lot of interviews coming on the feed.
So,
lots
so
to post.
I was astounded at how many people were on time, like dead on, like worked like clockwork, which was just great. But even when I caught myself with some time of like, oh, I have that checked on my schedule, I'm going to run to that panel, or I'm going to responsibly watch the back half of this screener and make sure my questions are on point. And because I just didn't want to fuck up that many interviews.
Yeah.
And so the net effect of the weekend for me was like a Godfather wedding. Like I went and sat in the back of a closed restaurant. And Hollywood just rotated people through to ask me for favors on the like
on the day of your daughter's wedding.
Like it very much like I'm just gonna sit here with my recorder and you just yes Hollywood bring the next, which was awesome. Like I kept thinking I missed that panel. Oh no wait, I held my own. That's because like I missed the Get Shorty panel and was sad. But I started Sunday morning in a Half Moon little booth crammed in there with Chris O'Dowd and Davey Holmes and Adam Arkin and Lydia Porto and Sean Bridgers. So like
you had your own Get Shorty.
That's fine. Yeah. I had a blast. The best thing I saw the entire weekend straight up was the Futurama panel, not because of the folks on stage. They were amazing. The best thing I saw the entire weekend was an incredibly nerdy fest friend who had turned around and showed us the shoes he had high top kicks of Simpsons or Futurama.
Yeah.
They were signed by Hank Azaria. He got them signed by a ton of people. And he very much had a question when the audience questions came up. And he stepped up to the mic or in line. And this little girl next to us, couldn't have been more than 10, with her dad. And I had heard her ask her dad like twice, like, can we ask a question? And the dad was like, I don't know. And then he was like, okay, we'll get up and get in line. When they got in line and it started to get tight on time, the very fanboy nerd looking dude standing there with his signed Chucks turned around and got out of line and
went
back down.
That is pretty awesome.
To make sure that girl got to ask her question.
And when they were getting ready to ask, Les was talking to me. He's like, they better not end with ask. Cause they kept asking the other people on the other side of the line were getting questions. And I'm like, no, they saw her. Cause I saw Billy West and I saw the moderator look over and see the girl there. And so they knew exactly where they were. They waited.
There was a
and
moment
left
where
her.
They were like, last question, and they went to the other mic. And I was like, they absolutely cannot end it and make that girl. Like, she can't just have to go sit back down.
They saw her and they were saving her for the last question.
Her last
question was great.
It was really gratifying to be like, I see the fanboy that I know. And I know how much that question's burning him to get to ask the Futurama crew, and turned around and like, nah, man, her question's going to mean more to her.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was a nice moment.
And yeah, it speaks to the nature of the festival.
And then I got to go talk to the Futurama guys on my own.
So who cares? Yeah, I find that this festival is just – whereas you guys mentioned Comic-Cons and events like that where it's survival of the fittest.
Yes,
it's whoever
yes.
has the system down and can rush in and grab those seats or is willing to sleep all night to get into a panel. This was – I walked into one panel. I was in the fast pass line, but I was further back. And I was trying to get a seat closer to the front of the room just so I could get some decent pictures. I am not a great photographer. And a girl was sitting in the front row of the seats, and there was an empty seat beside her. And she noticed me, and she's like, "This seat here is empty." We became friends, and we hung out almost all day yesterday. And we're going to keep in touch. Like, yeah. We've already been like we're Facebook friends now. We're Twitter friends. Yeah. And it's just like, it's like the barriers come down.
Yeah.
People can be themselves. They're not worried about what others think of them.
Yeah, I joined a team of complete strangers for trivia, and that was super fun.
Oh, here it comes.
I wasn't even going to do it.
Yeah. You were dancing around.
Did you win?
We came in second by 4 points.
Nice.
We did very well. We were surprised at what we did.
Randy, Les, Melissa, and I all made a pact to show up and be on a team together. And then I get there, and Randy's already on a team and didn't hold a spot for me, and you guys didn't show up.
Well, we didn't show up because there was an opening night surprise after the Sharp Objects screening where two of my friends, a friend from Toronto and a friend from Seattle, friend that I know from Comic Cons and set visits, and a friend that I've known from like TV and like just life in Toronto, they met at the festival 3 years ago outside the Paramount Theater, and he proposed to her in front of the theater after Sharp Objects. So that's where I was. Yep. I had to videotape the proposal.
Not the most romantic pilot to have watched and then proposed, but but still, that story is just awesome.
And Les?
Oh, I was just tired.
Tired.
Let's see. And you had gone.
And honestly skeeved out after Sharp Objects.
You had gone, and I was like, oh, Grant's not coming back. I figured there was no way you were going to make it back.
Oh, yeah, you had to go to the airport, didn't you?
Yeah, I had to run and grab my wife at the airport.
I had her drop me off. Back.
She was exhausted. She was stuck on a plane for 3 hours on the tarmac. And I was like, honey.
Yeah.
Drop me off. I want to go play trivia.
Yeah. I should have texted you and said if you were coming back. I just kind of assumed there's no way he's coming back.
Yeah.
But then you probably would have dragged my team down, so.
It's true. Although I'll point out that I did get a fifth place of like, what, 50 teams?
Yes.
On my team.
Yep.
I think I went home and binged another episode or two episodes of The Deuce to prep for Chris Coy interview and then fell asleep.
But trivia is a lot of fun, too. I'm glad they do that every year.
It's a pretty awesome festival. So another great reason for us to get to hang out with you, Melissa, every time you come down.
It's like I always call you guys my pod fam. Like, aww. You are my family in Austin, and you've always made me feel so welcome, and I don't get to hang out with all of you often, so that's probably a highlight for me.
As family, if we wanted to emigrate to Canada.
Did you hear about our recent election in the province of Ontario? I know it's not Canada-wide. You might want to rethink that.
True. I did hear that. That asshole, though, at least backed...
He backed Trudeau.
Today or yesterday. That's impressive.
Yeah, because he knows that what the rest of the country is going to say if he doesn't.
Yeah. Right. Well, let's talk about the next year's festival. We kind of do this every year where we like to pick our dream list of like, oh, here's what I want to see a panel on.
Yeah.
What do you guys got this year?
I want Legion.
Mm.
Noah Hawley's been here before. He gives great panel. I would love for Legion to be here.
Is he on the board?
He is on the board, yes.
Oh, shit. And then, that could happen.
I want Legion. I think it could happen.
I'd like a panel about trans characters with the Wachowskis.
Oh, shit. Sense8,
what's going on?
Sense8,
I know Sense8 just dropped their in, but whatever they're going to do next, and with Poses out now, and it seems like next year they could take this binary thing further, and
that would be fantastic.
And go with that.
That'd be pretty cool. Lost, always Lost. I always want Lost.
You know they've got to be thinking that direction.
Yeah, but that's
it's hard.
Hard to coordinate.
Yeah,
but I'm going to be at the front of that line if it happens. Dressed as a polar bear. I'm going to dress up as a polar bear.
So like every year.
Yeah.
Don't forget the fish biscuits.
It's Texas. Gotta have the fish biscuits.
Considering Bill Lawrence did not show up for the Whiskey Cavalier panel, I think he owes the festival and needs to do a Scrubs reunion next year.
Oh my God. Judy Reyes was there for Claus.
She walked, just a little aside, she walked by me and I was just like, oh my God, it's Carla. It's Carla.
Oh, you guys don't understand how absolutely stunning Judy Reyes is in person. Like, holy crap, beautiful.
Yeah, I believe that.
It was difficult to speak to her.
And Carla. Westworld.
Oh, yeah.
I want Westworld too, but.
That show's okay. I'm kidding. I love Westworld.
No, like, Scrubs would be so good, though. I love Scrubs.
They're not going to do like a reunion for Westworld, though. Maybe like a Westworld like promotional.
Yeah.
Well,
I'd be fine with that.
We could put our toe in the water and drag Jonathan Nolan here for person of interest panel.
Yeah, yeah. And then do Westworld
too. There you go.
Yeah,
do a person of interest reunion. That could be cool too.
Yeah, we get Jesus here and
if they did a Westworld panel, I'd love to see in the same vein as the trans character panel you mm-hmm. mentioned. I'd love to see a panel with bisexual actors and characters.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that'd be fascinating.
Yeah.
And person of interest panel would get Ben Linus here.
That's right.
And for Lost.
Yep. And that's how you do it.
It's happening. Yep. Oh, man. I'm so glad we get to pick the panels.
Oh, wait. Grant, we have no insight.
Right? We'll do that.
Leave some for me. Yes. Leave some for me.
We're going to split them. We'll split it down the middle.
All right. Next year, we're going to make it so that you guys are moderating panels. And, Lost is happening. So that's going to be cool.
There we go. ATX great. Season 7 or season 8.
Yep.
It's planned.
We are ready. Want to thank ATX people for putting on a great festival this year, as always. And Melissa, really? Want to thank you for coming on our show.
Thank you so much for inviting me. This has been a dream of mine for a really long time to be on a TV Dudes episode. I'm not lying.
What?
And when you asked me, I was like, oh my God, yes.
So you're going to be back next week, right?
I've wanted to be on Film TV.
You fly me down?
No, I'm working on teleportation technology. It hasn't gone well.
That'll work.
Yet.
Unless you're not going to be on Film TV.
No, you know what? We could have a discussion. I'm not... I don't object to having men on the podcast.
I realized when I ran into you at the fest on Thursday that I had not actually checked to make sure that you were coming this year. And I just assumed like, oh, cool, I get to see Melissa. And then I saw he was like, I'm really glad you're here. I probably should have checked whether or not you were flying down for this.
You need to be on our chat threads.
I really do. I would probably just delete that app again.
You can find your shows at electricsweater.com, femtv.com.
Femtvpodcast.com.
Femtvpodcast.com. And MrRobotO.com. That's O-H, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Guys, this is a lot of fun doing a recap.
Yeah.
And we'll be back again later this week to have our actual regularly scheduled episode.
We're going to catch up on Legion.
And Westworld.
Oh, man. I got so much Legion I got to catch up on.
So it's much psychic dance fighting.
It's going to be a brain fuck. All right. We're going to end there. Thank you guys so much. And until next week.
TV Dudes out.
Bye.
The TV Dudes is an independently run podcast and a member of the Electric Sweater Podcast Network. We are exclusively listener supported. If you'd like to help us out, go to patreon.com/TV Dudes. You can like us on Facebook and Twitter at TV Dudes. All the music for our show is by our friend and original TV Dude, Gregory J. Amani Smith. To find out more about us, go to thetvdudes.com and electricsweater.com. I'm Grant Davis. Thanks for listening.